from the Diocese of Gallup. Welcome to Crozier Cast. I'm Suzanne Hemmons, Director of Communications, and as always, with me is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Good, good. Well, today we wanted to talk a little bit about sort of a heavier topic, and I think that's how to deal with injury and sickness, whether it's someone personally dealing with it or maybe a loved one or someone that they know. And I thought maybe we'd start a little bit, if it's okay, if you would talk maybe briefly about some of the things that you've been experiencing lately.
Sure. So I've been bishop in the diocese, believe it or not, coming up on 8 years. It'll be April 23rd. We'll be 8 years here in the diocese. And I had a couple health scares, which were made public. I made public on purpose just to let people know what was going through. But about 4 years ago, my doctor found a little bump on my throat. Turned out that after biopsy, they found out that I had thyroid cancer, and so it was a particular type. Sometimes they'll leave it alone, but this type was a little on the aggressive strain, and so they decided to go ahead and remove it. So they removed it 4 years ago, and then about 6 weeks after that, I had radiation therapy. And I go back every year and have tests done, and everything's always clear, which is good. When I was doing my radiation therapy, kind of on a side note, that was when the Holy Father was elected. Pope Francis was elected, and when you do this radiation therapy, it's radioactive iodine. Actually, they put you on quarantine for 72 hours, and so I couldn't be around anyone when the Holy Father was elected. So immediately, I just offered a private mass for the Holy Father. And then about 6 or so months ago, I started experiencing some problems with my balance. I wrote about this in my recent column. And it turns out, a little over a year ago, I was hospitalized with an infection. They had to give me a particular antibiotic, and it turns out that antibiotic is what they call ototoxic, which means that it can be poisonous to your ears. And after going to see a neuro-otologist, they found out that I had about 80 to 90% vestibular damage, and that affects your balance. And so thankfully, I've been working with physical therapists. They've been giving me all kinds of stuff to do, and they're very, very hopeful that through working on my balance, all these exercises they give me, mostly done with my eyes closed, that I'm able to get back to things, get back to a sense of normalcy in my balance. So that's what I've been dealing with. In terms of some kind of, I guess, maybe serious illness, you know, when you hear the word cancer, I think we're all scared when we hear that kind of word. Thankfully, they were able to remove it, and I'm all cancer-free. But then when you hear something like permanent damage, that's something that also would worry you a bit. So, but I'm on the mend, and I'm doing well.
So when those kinds of things come up, I mean, you're having kind of two things can be a little frustrating, I'd imagine. I mean, what's the first thing that comes to mind? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, I think the best thing and the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, our own, first of all, our own humanity. And because our own humanity comes to mind, the first thing to do is really call on the Lord. And that means to pray, raising our hearts and our minds to God. And so I know in both instances when I was given this news, first of all, with the thyroid, that was the first thing I did was pray. But with the balance issue, this was something I was dealing with for about, goodness, 6-7 months. And the last 4 months was really difficult. So before that, I was praying. I was bringing it before the Lord and asking for help. And ultimately, that help came in the form of doctors, really good doctors, that helped to take care of me, and then some great physical therapists, two rock-solid Christians. So when I was doing my balance exercises, we just would stand around and talk about our Christian faith, which was pretty exciting.
What about, I'm sure everybody has had something that they've experienced in their life, even if it's not personally, they know they have a loved one or a really close friend. Maybe they've lost them, maybe they're experiencing some kind of suffering. And I know a lot of times, I mean, I've experienced this myself, maybe the first instinct is frustration or anger at others, anger at God even, you know, why are you doing this to me? How would you, what advice would you give for dealing with that? I mean, is it okay to be angry, but then how should we be productive about it?
Well, I think it's okay to be angry. I think that's perfectly fine. We can be angry about a particular situation. But I think it's important to say, what do we do with that anger? Do we just kind of sit with it? And is that the only place we go? Or do we offer, you know, cry out to the Lord and let him know we're angry? He knows we're angry. But to let him know we're angry, to allow him to kind of, you know, maybe take that burden. Jesus says, you know, come to me, you all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And so here we have the one who was treated cruelly, who suffered, who was crucified, spat upon by his own people. I mean, horribly, horribly treated. You know, so I think he's kind of that example for us about what it is that we do. It. He offers his life over to the Father for our sins. And so I think if we look at that, you know, maybe if we're angry, that's okay. It's okay to be angry, but not simply to remain in there, but to give that anger over to the Lord. Or maybe we're questioning, you know, why, like you said, why is this happening to me? And it could be a very, very debilitating illness or disease or you know, accident or something that could leave us paralyzed for life. All sorts of different things that could happen. And so, yeah, we could be angry, we could be sad, we could be not know what to do. But I think the answer is always the same. The answer is always turn to prayer. In the letter of James in the first chapter, St. James talks about trials and temptations. Now, temptations are things that come from the evil one. We talk about that a lot, especially during the season of Lent. And then we talk about trials, and trials are things that can be given to us that if we receive them properly, they can make us stronger. And in each case, what St. James says, the answer to each one is always the same. Always prayer. What's the act of prayer? Raising our hearts and our mind to God. So when I'm tempted, rather than give in to the temptation, I raise my heart and my mind to God, and the Lord gives me the grace and the strength to overcome the temptation. When I experience a particular trial, perhaps an illness, debilitating disease, something like that, you know, if I remain with it, and it's probably not going to go anywhere, I'll probably just go deeper and deeper into my anger, maybe, you know, further and further into pity, right? But if I say, okay, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord and ask the Lord for the grace and the strength, then through that trial, what I can do is I can become a stronger person. You know, I can become more Christ-like. You know, what does the Lord do from the cross? He calls out to the Lord. He prays Psalm 22 to his Father.
And we can link that part of St. James in the show notes. And I'm sure anytime we get to, for you, you get to advise reading St. James. It's a good...
I do. Anytime. 122 is my motto. And that is the be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But be doers of the word. And so that's would be St. James the Lesser. And that would be the James who was the first bishop of Jerusalem. Also suffered a martyr's death.
Right. What about if we're not personally dealing with something or we're not suffering personally, but it's a loved one, and they, maybe we see that they are getting frustrated or that they are in deep suffering. How would you recommend reaching out to somebody that we love with
sure.
that sort of advice?
Well, I think the answer is always prayer. So we can do intercessory prayer, whether we're with the person, if they want to pray, or whether we're not, and we might even be separated by distance. You know, our prayers are powerful. We raise our hearts and our minds to God on behalf of someone. So we can pray for someone. I think that's good to do. We also want to let them know our closeness to them. Because when we have maybe an illness or disease or sickness, we might feel isolated. Especially if we're angry or if we're kind of pity is kind of setting in. Isolation, all these different things can happen to us. So if we let someone know that they're not alone in their suffering, that we're there for them, and we're there to do whatever it is that they need, I think that's important. And we always want to make sure that we give people their space, that we're not kind of overcrowding them or kind of imposing ourselves upon them. But that's a good thing, to let them know that they're not alone. Offering our prayers, having a mass celebrated for them, sending them a card, phone call, modern text message, right? That's always a quick and easy thing to do. And that's one of the things I do a lot, especially with family and friends who are back home, is that's a quick little way for me to let them know that I'm thinking about them or praying about them, offering a mass for them. I do that a lot. Quick way to get information out.
And kind of going with the advice you gave, I think we hear, as Catholics, we've been raised to hear, you know, offer things up. What does that mean exactly, and how do we do that concretely? What does that mean to offer something up, and what should we keep in mind?
Sure, okay. Well, I would say offering things up is an act of prayer in itself. St. Therese says that raising our hearts, prayer in the act in itself is raising our hearts and our minds to God. And so when we offer it up, what we're doing is, and the best way to do it is unite it to the suffering of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Because the suffering of Christ on the cross doesn't end there. His suffering upon the cross is redemptive, right? So eternal life, forgiveness of sins, comes out of his suffering upon the cross, and ultimately the glory of the resurrection. So when we suffer, when we struggle, when we have illnesses, not to simply remain with them, but to call on the name of the Lord, to unite them to the crucified Lord, and trust that he will bring something much, much greater out of this. Now, that's why I think when I remember last year when I was in the hospital, I was in a great Catholic hospital, and the sisters, the Franciscan sisters in Crown Point, they made sure that in every single room, not just the rooms for the patients, but every single room, no matter where you look, you saw an image of the San Damiano cross, the crucifix. That's the crucifix that spoke to St. Francis, right, to rebuild my church. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us, in that we can meditate upon the crucified Lord by having a crucifix close by, maybe in front of our bed, maybe on our bedside, maybe if we're confined to a chair in front of us there, wherever, that we're able to see the crucified Lord. And that gives us a reminder that we can offer and unite our sufferings to the sufferings of Jesus Christ, who ultimately brings redemption and eternal life and forgiveness of sins out of that.
That's pretty good advice. And
I think so too.
And speaking of being in the hospital too, did you ever feel afraid sometimes? As a bishop, or even for anybody who might have some responsibilities, when you feel like you have people that depend on you, you know, how do you deal with that? If you do, how do you deal with the fear?
Well, yeah, I think anytime you have the sense of the unknown, you know, where this is going. So, for example, I was told fairly fast that I had thyroid cancer. So there wasn't as much of an unknown there. But dealing with this, you know, this 80-90% damage to my vestibular system, that took a few months. And so there was quite a bit of time. We just kind of suffered silently through it, where there was this unknown. And with the unknown, fear can creep in. And I think the answer for that is, you know, what drives out fear but perfect love? And who is perfect love but God? As perfect love, as letter of John, tried to throw James in there again, letter of John tells us. So with the unknown, fear can easily creep in, and who drives out fear but perfect love drives out fear. So again, it's that simple task of calling on the name of the Lord in prayer can help to drive that out. And friends and family can help to alleviate that too. Alleviate that fear, just their closeness, their presence, to know that they're praying for you, that they're there for you, that they support you.
And kind of going back to this idea of suffering, I think in our society, or at least from my perspective, it looks like in our society, oftentimes we seek to avoid suffering or really any kind of discomfort as much as possible. But in the Catholic Church, we see that, you know, suffering isn't we don't necessarily seek it out, but it can be a means to a good in a way.
Sure.
Are you saying that's something kind of unique to the Church, and why do we take that perspective?
Well, Jesus tells us, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, he says, if you want to be my disciple, 16 into 17, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. So when we look at the cross, we know that part of the cross is suffering. That's a part of the walk of the disciple, too, if we're going to really embrace our cross. And so, although, like you said, we don't go looking for suffering, but suffering is a normal part of our life. And what Jesus even says in that scripture passage, he says, and follow after me. And so it gives us an insight that as we embrace our suffering, that suffering is, we're not alone in that suffering, but we're following our Lord. And that's one way we can unite that suffering to his. And Jesus brings glory out of his suffering. We know that his suffering is death. That was not the end, but on the third day he was raised. So the resurrection and eternal life comes out of that. So we know that Jesus, is truly God, truly man, brings glory out. It can bring that glory out of suffering, if we don't hold on to it, if we unite that suffering to Jesus on the cross.
And this sort of stands in stark contrast to, you know, an amoral, maybe nihilistic worldview where suffering means, you know, is meaningless. In the Catholic worldview, it means something.
It can be redemptive,
right.
Sure.
And wanted to touch on too, and this would probably be an episode in and of itself, but would you say that also plays into this push that we often see towards euthanasia or assisted suicide, they might think it's coming from a good place, because they don't like watching someone that they know suffer, but it's a bad thing,
Sure, I think so, yeah. They'll refer to things like a mercy killing, right? That's not mercy at all. It's the complete opposite. It's not a respect for the dignity of the human person. Yeah, then sometimes we can see, a spouse might really struggle or suffer in seeing, his or her spouse dying from cancer, really a very debilitating disease, something like that. And they can think that the best act that they can give them is to take away that suffering by ending their life. But what that also doesn't provide for is it doesn't provide for an opportunity for the spouse to love the person who is sick and dying, but also for the person who's sick and dying to love the spouse back, or the friend, or the caretaker, or the family member, or the son, or the daughter, all these things. They remove an opportunity to love. That's the most important virtue of all. St. Paul even says that too. Euthanasia or it's the physician-assisted suicide, some of these things. They don't respect the dignity of the human person, but they also remove the opportunity to love.
And you've mentioned quite a few good Bible verses to look at and things, but are there specific prayers that might be good that kind of dwell on suffering?
Well, I think the Psalms are always important, right? Every Friday for morning prayer, we always pray Psalm 51. I think that's a really a good prayer to pray. So I think the Psalms, because the Psalms in themselves can be so personalized. I think that's pretty important for us to remember. Psalm 30, I think, is also another important one. I praise you, Lord, for you raised me up and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you for help, and you healed me. Or we think about in the scripture passages of the woman who was hemorrhaging for many years, spent all her money going to the doctors and everything, and she just reaches out and touches the tassel of our Lord's cloak, and immediately she's healed. So I think about that one. What a great act of faith for her to do that. and we can read scriptural passages where Jesus goes from towns and villages and reaches out, lays his hands on people, and heals them. So I think there's a great hope in that, to know that there is power in the healing of Jesus, right? And then, you know, another thing, really, really important thing that we don't want to forget is one of our sacraments deals specifically with healing, and that's the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. In the letter of James, he talks about, you know, if anyone is sick, let him send for the priest of the church and let the priest pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And it says a prayer of faith will save the sick person and the Lord will raise them up. And so what are we to do? Or to call the priest to come visit us and to lay hands on us, because that's what we see scripturally time and time again, and then give us the anointing, so with holy oil, the anointing of the sick, in order that we might be healed in body and in spirit too.
And do you have any specific saints that you think could function as role models who did experience quite a bit of suffering? I mean, I think maybe one of our personal favorites, would Saint Kateri fall under that category?
She would be a great one, as you mentioned her, because, you know, she, when she was young, she lost her mother, father, and brother, and to smallpox, and smallpox disfigured her, and it affected her eyesight, and that's where her Tecaquitha, you know, she who bumps into things, that's where her name comes from. So it tells us a little bit about that, but she could have just given up. She had this illness, this debilitating disease, but she didn't. Through it, her faith, it grew stronger and stronger and stronger each day. So, you know, St. Paul talks about the thorn in his side, asking the Lord to take it away from him. We don't precisely know what that is, but we know that there's suffering that was involved in that. And St. Paul acknowledging that and then relying upon the Lord makes him a stronger person. You know, it's a test or a trial that he experiences. He receives it, doesn't allow it to just simply remain in himself, but unites it to that of the Lord, and it makes him a strong, much, much stronger person. So I think Saint Kateri, Saint Paul, would be very good saints to call upon.
Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on that maybe I didn't bring up?
Well, I think one of the things we don't want to do whenever we're sick or we're ill or some kind of misfortune comes our way is we don't want to get discouraged. And then even more so, we don't want to fall into despair, which is a lack of hope. And what we want to do is we always want to make sure that our hope is placed, is where it's supposed to be. Our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we always want to make sure our hope is in the Lord. And we hope and we trust that he has the power to heal us, to save us, and ultimately to offer us eternal life. So never lose hope. Don't give in to discouragement or despair, but always place our hope in the Lord.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think that does it for another episode. So thank you once again, Bishop Wall, for speaking with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And it's always good to be able to share some things about our faith, and especially on this topic of dealing with illness, either ourselves or with family or friends. Thank you.